Let's look then at money and thankfulness to God. This is our vacation home. No. Money and thankfulness to God. This is not a very complicated thing. It's just a simple thing that's hard for us, born to covetousness, born to wanting and crying if we don't get our way. We're born to that. I've told many times the story of the little boy that didn't speak, and his parents took him to the doctor and said, "I can't find anything wrong with him." And then one day he came downstairs and he said, "My oatmeal's cold." And he said, "What? You can talk?" "Yes." "Well, how come you never said anything?" "Well, everything was okay up till now." You know, this is kind of the way we are. It's just, I'll just grunt when things aren't the way I want it. But here's the command. Psalm 97:12. "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous." If you know him, if you're one of his, rejoice in the Lord. "And give thanks at his remembrance of his holiness." At the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice is what you feel inside. Giving thanks is how you express it for others to hear. If you do not do that, you become the unthankful. Notice the failure in 2 Timothy 3:2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." In a list of things as bad as disobedient to parents, as well as all these others, we have here being unthankful. Being that kind of person is just characteristic of the unsaved. That's the failure. It also leads to progressive corruption. Romans 1:21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." Pay attention to how often in the scripture the characteristic of thankfulness or lack of it is characterized by these people. So they were not thankful. What happened? They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. This is the way our mind goes when we're not thankful. So God has given a replacement strategy. When the unthankful words, when the griping, "I don't have enough," or "I don't have as much as somebody else," "I don't have as good a quality of thing and as I want," when that comes to your mouth, when it comes to your lips, you close your lips and you say something else. Ephesians 5:3-4. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." This is like bathroom humor. This is poor jokes. "But rather, instead of these things, rather giving of thanks." When you don't know what to say, give thanks. Isn't it nice that we have this? See? The very fact that you do that changes the way your mind is working, makes you a more positive person, certainly a more pleasant person to be around. So, a couple of things here. Give thanks for all things. This isn't something I came up with. This is God. Ephesians 5:20. "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Simple statement, but boy, it's all-encompassing, isn't it? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. So all things includes the happy things and the sad things, the good things, the pleasant things, the unpleasant. Philippians 4:6, Be careful, be worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When we go to God in prayer, let us also remember what we're thankful for, that it doesn't sound like all we're doing is asking. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's interesting to me to realize in the omnipotence and the omniscience of God that he knows you in your eternity. He sees you outside of time. He sees you from your beginning to the end of time, which we can't even conceive of that because it's going to go on forever. But he sees it all. So he knows you completely. And he says, there's one thing that I can say is always according to my will. He says, give thanks. Let me suggest some things. How about earthly mercies? Can we be thankful for God's pleasantness to us on earth? 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you have a comfortable place to sit in his padded pews here? We can thank God for that. We remember the hard times, the hard seats. We remember that, trying to move and adjust and get comfortable. But do you have a comfortable place at home? Do you have a place where you have comfort? Don't just say, yeah, this is nice. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for providing, in your mercy, providing this comfort. Part of that will be for the fact of life. It is better, life is better than not to be. None could give us life but God, for he is the fountain of being. He is the fountain of life. Psalm 103 and 4. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, Jehovah, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. He made us. He made you, though born of your parents, because he had decided how you were to be. Psalm 139, 14 to 16. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, what I'm made of, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I think that's symbolic of being formed in the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. What you have turned out to be, with your strengths and weaknesses, with your talents and lack of talents, with your odd parts of as you look in the mirror, the hard parts and the nice parts and all that stuff. He made you that way because this is the frame in which the picture of your character is shown forth. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets, he says to these Greeks, certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We have come, sprung from God. The very fact of life. The old story about the fellow that'd wake up, open the paper to the obituaries and see if he was listed, and If he wasn't, he went back to bed. How about praising him for continued life? Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are alive and you have breath in your life because God has given it to you. Not as he did Adam, rather than Moses. He did it like that. We didn't have a body before he breathed into us, but he formed us breathing. Job 10:12a, thou hast granted me life and favor. God gives you life. Acts 17:25. Again, Acts 17, he's preaching to these Gentile Greeks. Neither is worshipped, the true God, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeth, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So the fact that you are still alive today ought to be a matter of praise to God, a thankful spirit. How about for preserved life? We were thanking that Samuel, my wife texted him and he wrote back saying, I hurt all over. Felt really hard to get out of bed this morning. He had a wreck last night. Somebody crashed into him, ran a red light. This is the story we got so far. But how about praising God for preserved life? Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. You are Jehovah alone, only one of them. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the angels and everything, and things that we don't even know, spirit beings, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. How do they continue to have life? Chemically, biologically, it's a very difficult thing to analyze a person who is alive and the next moment dead. There's not that much difference. The body is just the same. Might have breathed out, but it's God. God who preserves the living. And we may praise God for our health. When my legs are hurting trying to go up the steps, I praise God that I have legs to go up the steps. Praise God for our health. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. This word wish, I wish above all things, is a word that's pretty close to prayer, and it is translated prayer, pray twice. In 2 Corinthians 13:7, now I pray to God. This is that word for wish. So sharing with God your wish is a prayer. See? This is what the world has latched onto. When you wish upon a star, they're talking about prayer. They don't know it, but this is the unsaved way of thinking about praying. Makes no difference who you are. Now, I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. You could look good, we could look bad, but I pray to God that you do no evil. And I wish to God, we might say. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Wishing the best is literally the idea, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so this that you are wishing for, and especially in health. Be thankful to God for the health he has given. You may not have the greatest of health. We were over at Pastor Porter and his family. We are the godparents of the grandparents of the children. And our Christmas time was pretty well filled up, so we had Christmas on Saturday. And Jeb is sitting on the sofa, attached to the oxygen. His area of moving around is limited by the cord that is attached to the oxygen provider. They ramp up extra tanks, and when they go out to do something, important things like going to a bookstore, they have the tanks that come with him. But his life and health is severely limited. But he gives thanks to God every day for his health. Be thankful to God for the health he has given. Isaiah 38, 9 and 19, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. So that is the context. And we go on to verse 19, the writing of Hezekiah. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. I'm going to be busy about sharing who you are to the children. Because I'm sick, you helped me to recover. Luke 17, 5 to 17. And one of them, the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Christ was saying, I didn't tell them to be thankful, but I'm sad that only one was. And then, be thankful for all that is enjoyable. Have a meal that was really nice, maybe just one piece of food that was really good. Did you have a rest that really got you rested? I was singing with Pat Boone last night. I have no idea what that was all about, but we were up at a lofty area with a big window, and we're at the window singing, not a window, but an opening, and people out, some sort of fair or something. So that didn't seem unusual in the dream. All that is enjoyable. Genesis 32:10, Jacob, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. You understand what you deserve from God because of who you are, what you've done, what you've been. And yet, look what he gives you. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. 1 Timothy 4, 4. For every creature, the word meaning created beings, of God is good for food and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So that could be snails, escargot. That could be deer, right? That could be anything that people have produced that tastes good. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The thing didn't have to magically materialize in front of you for you to understand that it came from God. If it exists, it came from God. If it came into your possession, if it came to your use, it was provided by God, because all good things come from him. So, this includes your financial ability and whatever it is, such as it is. If you have a lot, if you have a little, but if you have enough, it includes your financial ability, such as it is. Let's look secondly at your spiritual mercies. Spiritual mercies. I want you to think. And I don't have to go over this much, I think. Understand the grace of God in salvation. But thank God for the provision of the new covenant. We've been dominating our thought with that today. For salvation, for sonship. It's one thing to be the prisoner that's been released from prison. It's another thing to be invited into the home as a child. He doesn't just forgive us our sins. He adopts us as his own. For heaven, to live with God. Amazingly, we can thank him for authority with Christ in the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom, that's 1,000 years on this earth. And you and I are going to have exalted positions there. I can't even imagine what it's all going to be like. But a near perfect world, you and I related to the king, positions where he says we will rule and we will be as priests. 5, for eternal life, never-ending life. And 6, for final victory over sin. Once our time on this earth is over, we're done with all that temptation stuff. And then, secondly, for his blessings of grace. And with grace, I want you to think of spiritual empowerment. What you can do for God, with God, for the sake of God. So it is a particular blessing that you were born in a land where the gospel is preached, in a land where false religion dominates, there is a famine. Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. We feast on that here, the word of God. I try to get you to taste it and to chew it and to understand what God's given to me. We're thankful that we don't have that famine. The gospel was first given to the Jewish people by Christ. And in the Great Commission, Jesus said, preach it to all the nations beyond the Jews, you see. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations. This word, ethnos, ethnoi, plural, translated Gentiles 93 times and heathen 5 times. Here just nations, you see. Acts 11:18. When they, the Jews, heard these things, they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. He's saving the Gentiles. They always understood them to be helpless and hopeless and black in sin, terrible. But now they're getting saved. And the third thing is for the love of the triune, transcendent God. Transcendency means that God is beyond all limitation. This is the dominating concept of God, that he is beyond all limitations. God is love. This is who he is what he is, the character of God. But what is characteristic of God is that he is transcendent. Romans 5:5b. The love of God is shed abroad, translated poured out 12 times, is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We get to partake of the divine nature. And if you don't have 2 pennies to rub together, you have the grace of God, the empowerment of God. Let me then share with you, secondly, the times of being thankful. When should you be thankful? Well, not only when you are prosperous. You remember being prosperous? Matthew 8:20. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was not a wealthy man. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich there in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So you don't have to be wealthy with money to spend however you want, but you are to give thanks. Mark 12:42. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And Christ said, this is remarkable. She gave all that she had. In 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. We are the royalty of Christ's relationship. Revelation 2:9, I know thy, writing to Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. You might not have much of this world's goods, but you have God. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So not only when you're in prosperity, but also when you are in adversity, when things are tough, when people are against you. Job was such a person. Job 1:19 to 22. Behold, there came great wind from the wilderness, from a side and so on, and smote the four corners of the house where his children were, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only, the servant says, am escaped alone to tell thee. He's been losing all kinds of things, and now a servant comes and says, your children, your lovely children, have died when the house collapsed. Then Job arose and tore his mantle or robe, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He fell down before God, who does these things, allows these things, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then God gives his commentary. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He did not attribute folly to God. God's being foolisher. As a believer, you even have reason to thank God even in affliction, to thank God even for the affliction. Matthew 5:10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecution's not fun. But you're blessed if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here's what we're to do when that happens. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. They have noticed I'm a Christian, and they hate me for it. Praise God. For great is your reward in heaven, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You being who you are, living where you are, obscure, have joined the ranks of the prophets. 1 Peter 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. They're saying there's something about that person. I've noticed that some of the nursing homes where elderly people are, when they are sweet Christians, people marvel at them because you're supposed to be old grumpy men, you know, supposed to be cratchety old women. things aren't like I used to have. Can't taste food like I used to. Everything's bad. But when they're sweet, when they're compassionate, Mrs. Fisher, what was her name, the mother?
Mary
Fisher. A little white-haired lady comes back and I say, "Mary, how are things going for you?" She says, "People are so nice to me as an old lady." It just thrilled my heart. Instead of grumpiness, she saw the beauty of it all. Let me close then with two reasons to give thanks. I said when and under what conditions? Let me give you two reasons to give thanks. First reason is this: your Savior desires it. Not just because you feel happy, but even when you don't. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is what God wishes for you. This is what your Savior desires. Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, to his authority." Psalm 50, verse 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Psalm 69, 30, 31, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Put that magnifying glass in front of people. Let them see God bigger than they thought. "This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves." The sound of praise, a great sacrifice. And the second and last reason is your Savior gave you the example. Can we be like him? That's God's goal for us now, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. God planned for you to become Christ-like. Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good." But sometimes all those things don't seem pleasant. So how can they be good? Because verse 29 says, here's what's good for you. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." We were talking about Christ not being wealthy, not having a great time on earth, and yet a godly person. We need to try to be like him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's adopted us as his brethren, and we should be Christ-like. Matthew 11:25-26. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." It's not the academically talented people that get the Bible. It's the simple person of faith. "And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." And then John 11:41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Before the prayer was answered, before Lazarus came forth from the dead, having been dead for 3 days, Jesus said, I thank you that you have heard me. If you have prayed and have found God giving an answer to prayer, thank him for that. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Let's be Christ-like. Let's pray. Father, we would be thankful people. We would like to focus upon the good that you have provided for us. The good, even in spite of tragedy, even in spite of things that have caused us sadness. We think of Shelley Hamilton, the house where she was living, now burned. Perhaps many things burned up that would be irreplaceable. Original items from her father, Mr. Garlock, and her husband, Ron Hamilton. But Father, these things were going to burn up anyway, eventually. And yet, nobody was killed. And so, we can even thank you for sparing life, even as it seemed good to you to allow this to happen. So, Father, we think of these tragic things, difficult things, and yet you have supplied strength for us. You have awakened others around us to show love and concern and help. And we thank you for giving us this kind of life. Father, help us then to recognize that as thankful people, we recognize that you have given us enough to meet our needs. And there is a great need in the harvesting of the world for you. And so we want to give unto that. As thankful people, we will give because we want to spread that kind of joy. We are thankful for our salvation. We are thankful for those who brought the Word of God to us, whether our parents or preachers, or books and tracts. We ask that you might bless that work. And Father, may others be blessed. May we contribute to that. And so tonight, Father, we want to ask forgiveness for being greedy, covetous, wanting more than we have, and not thankful. Father, make us thankful people. A smile upon our face, even in times of difficulty. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, Pastor, I find it easy to grumble, easy to complain that I don't have what somebody else has, or as much as what other people have. But God working in my life, I'm going to be thinking about being more thankful. I'm going to be exercising the gift of thankfulness, that I can please God, I can do what he wishes, and I can be like Christ. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you slip your hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Help me to grow in this area. Yes, amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for working in our hearts and helping us to see what you would love to see in us, that we look around and we say, I see beautiful, wonderful things, and I give thanks for them. If I do not own them, I can appreciate them. If I don't have the greatest of all foods, I can appreciate that I have what I have. And so we pray, Father, that you might stir us to thankfulness, that before we get to our bed tonight, we will take the time to say thank you. Thank you for what I have. Thank you for what you have given. Because I know that every good gift, every perfect thing has come from thee. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.